There are times when I'm pretty sure I know what God wants to do. There are times when I have no clue. Right now, I have no clue. I have a message here that I believe he gave me. But as I walked up here, he said, everybody stand up. So everybody stand up. If you're under attack today, raise one hand. If there's an attack going on in your life, it's health, it's finances, it's things going through your brain that you don't, if you're under attack today, raise one hand. If you're standing near someone who's got a hand raised, put your other hand on them. Just reach for somebody who's got their hand raised and put your hand on them. I don't want to see anybody with a hand up with nobody standing without someone's hands on them. Father, we are a body. We are one. You called us to be one in Christ. When any part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. Our body is hurting this morning, Father. Our body is under attack. You see all the hands raised. You see all the people who know that they are under attack. That's most of our body. Our body is under attack, Father. And so right now, God, we make an appeal to heaven. We come to you. We call on your power. Because it's the only thing that Satan respects. And we call on your power, God. To break every attack. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every sickness, break every disease, break every ache and pain and muscle disorder. Break everything that's out of line in our finances. Bring us into alignment. God, we appeal to you and your power. We come into the heavenlies to do spiritual warfare for our brothers, for our sisters. We do spiritual warfare for Connie, who needs your healing touch on her body now. We do spiritual warfare for Barb and Rick, who aren't here with their hands raised, but we know they need your touch on their bodies right now. Daddy, we appeal to you for Danny, for his complete healing and health and recovery and strength. Yes, Erica, Daddy, we appeal to you for her strength, for her health, for her mobility, for her ability. Daddy, what we want is the ability to work in your kingdom without hindrance. Everything that Satan has brought against this body this morning and before this, heretofore, I think, is as Linda would say, heretofore and today, everything that he has brought against us, we cancel it now in the name of Jesus. We command those things to leave our bodies. We command our finances to be healed, our relationships to be healed. We command strength. We will not sit and let Satan walk all over us. We will stand up and fight. We're not laying down and taking it. We're standing up and fighting. You are greater, greater, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Your world says no weapon formed against us can prosper. That's true if we stay in alignment with you. So that's my prayer, Daddy, that you show us where we are out of alignment so that we can get back into alignment, so that when we come to make an appeal to heaven, you hear us. We rebuke Satan. and everything he has done in our body. Everything. In the name of Jesus, I call every person in this room, every person watching, listening, I call you healed. And I need you to enter into that declaration and call yourself healed now. I'm healed in Jesus' name. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against me prospers. In the name of Jesus, I shall go forth in the strength of the Lord and do what the Lord has called me to do. I am not a wimp. I will not lie down and take it. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I'm healed. My body's healed. I need you to be saying these things. My body's healed. My relationships are healed. My finances are healed. My broken car is healed. My broken refrigerator is healed. Everything that Satan has done against you, declare its healing now. In the name of Jesus. God, we are your children, as Bishop said. If my child was sick, I would do anything and everything in my power, including taking their place. You did that. You took our place. Jesus took our place on the cross. Your word says, by his stripes we're healed. Says he was wounded for everything that we did wrong. He was bruised for all of our sins. He's the one who suffered so that we could have peace. And by his stripes we're healed. So as a body today, as a group of individuals, we say together, say this with me, by your stripes, we are healed in Jesus' name. Now thank him for it. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. And you may be seated, as you obviously guessed. You know, hang on a second. Okay, Rob, this mic is running red. Is that okay? It's got a red light on it. Okay. I'm actually angry. I'm angry. I don't know that you see me angry very often, but I'm not angry at any person. I'm not angry at anything. I am angry at the way Satan has attacked our body. I had more text messages, information, more things come to my attention this morning about the attacks that our people are under than I can remember in quite a while. And it makes me angry. I even got a text message saying PowerPoint was not working. I'm like, thank you. And then I went to God and I said, Satan is a liar, God. Because we need that to run the service the way you like it's done. We need that. And he fixed it. And there were a couple of other things that were brought to my attention this morning. And I went into warfare for them and he fixed them. There are some I went into warfare and he hasn't fixed yet. But he will. I am angry because Satan has attacked us incessantly. How's that word? You know what that means? Without stopping. But I am also disturbed, not angry, but disturbed, that in so many cases we don't fight. We have to learn. We must learn. We really are commanded to learn how to fight for what God has given us. It's called spiritual warfare. How many of you are familiar with the term? Spiritual warfare. You know what natural warfare is? You declare war and you go to battle and you fight day after day after day after day until the victory's won. And that's spiritual warfare. We have to go into battle and fight. We have to be strong day after day after day until the victory manifests. We cannot lay down on the ground and let Satan run over us like a bulldozer. Somewhere in the Bible it talks about Israel's enemies walking all over their backs. Don't lay down and let Satan walk all over your back. Do not do that. Excuse me. Part of what we're going to learn today is how to fight. We also need to learn to know when we're under attack, because I think a lot of us don't even know that we're under attack. So I'm gonna start with this message that God gave me. We just celebrated our 4th of July Independence Day holiday. We're celebrating the freedom that we as a nation have, right? We all know that freedom comes at a very high price. Many of us lost loved ones this generation or other generations. We have loved ones who are still struggling, suffering, because they fight or fought for the freedom of our nation. It comes at a very high price. And there are battles to win to have freedom, whether it's in the spiritual or the natural. There are enemies to conquer. We have one enemy, and it's not each other. It's Satan. And there are victories to win. In the early history of our nation, England actually had very little influence over what happened in the colonies. Very little. Until England needed money to pay for its wars. When it needed money to pay for its wars, it started levying taxes on the colonies. And it started to enforce them with military might. Now, does that not sound like Satan? You've been free long enough. I need this. I need that. So I'm going to put something on you. I'm going to levy taxes, so to speak. Because you've been obedient to God, I'm going to levy taxes on you. And he enforces it with his military might. And in the colonies, that's when they rebelled. Are you ready to rebel against Satan? Are you ready to tell him to get his butt out of your life? I'm sorry. Are you ready to tell him, go, like Jesus said, get away from me? Because it's time. It's time for us to tell him to get out of our body. Get out of our house. Get out of WFM. Get out. And we have the authority to do that. Jesus gave it to us. He said, I give you all power. I have all power in heaven and in earth. And I give it to you. And now you go and do your thing. Go do what needs to be done. The colonists, excuse me, tried every diplomatic avenue. And I think that's what we do sometimes. We just, oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you shed your blood for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for, you're my healer. We're being very diplomatic. But it's time to get mad. It's time to say enough is enough. When the colonists started enduring taxes and the English military coming and enforcing them, you know, the army comes to your house, pay your taxes. In fact, give me a little more. That's Satan. Give me a little more. That ain't enough. Give me a little more. When that happened, and no diplomatic avenues worked, when they appealed to the king and that made no difference, a document was drafted and sent to England that ended with these words: appealing to heaven for the justice of our cause, we determine to die or be free. Is that you? Can you determine to die or be free? When you get tired of the devil ruling over you, you will determine to die or be free. You will make an appeal to heaven. You will go into spiritual warfare for yourself, for your brothers and sisters who need it. You will call on the power of God. And I'm telling you, it's the only thing that Satan respects. Many of you are familiar with Tina Turner. Remember Tina Turner? An amazing singer and songwriter who surfaced in the 1960s. Very famous, very well known, very popular, made a lot of money. Very few people knew of the hell that she lived in. after 16 years of being severely abused, beaten, and bloodied by her husband regularly, she decided to be free. Don't let Satan do that to you. Don't let Satan do that to you, whether it's physical abuse, mental abuse, or you just ain't in the Word of God, putting him down where he belongs. The battle cry that she repeated in her head as she left that night, she ran away, and that she repeated throughout the years of rebuilding her life and rebuilding her career. Her battle cry in her head was, I'll die before I go back. Can you say that? Will you die before you let Satan rule over you? Are you willing to fight that hard? Because freedom is not free. Tina supported herself by living with friends and cleaning houses for them, hiring out to clean houses for other people, living off of food stamps. Yes, the famous Tina Turner cleaned houses and lived off of food stamps. Freedom is not free. You have to fight for it. You have to do things you maybe never thought you would do. You maybe have to learn to pray in tongues. You certainly have to learn how to get on your knees and pray hard with passion. Too much of this, okay, Jesus, you see what's happening. I've had it with wimpy prayers. I don't mean that God doesn't hear them. But unless you get in the heavenlies and connect with God and his power, Satan's not going to back off. Satan is a serious, serious alien. Alien. Enemy. There you go. And you know that your freedom, like Tina's, is not going to be handed to you on a silver platter. You think, oh, yeah, well, she made all sorts of money. She'll be okay. No. She gave up everything. When they got divorced, she told Ike, you take everything I've made in the last 16 years, and I'll take my future. He got all the money they had made. He got all the rights, the royalties to every song she had ever written. She left with nothing. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to give up? Maybe I'll put it this way. What are you willing to give up to have your freedom? What are you willing to give up to have the future that God has planned for you? What are you willing to give up so not only you can be free, but you can help others be free? When you win your freedom, then you are qualified to help others get free. Are you willing to give up gossiping, lying, criticism, judgment? Are you willing? No, we love that. It tastes like chocolate sometimes. Yeah, it does. And we fall right into it without even realizing it. Just like you reach your hand into the cupboard and take out a piece of chocolate and don't even know you did it. And then you come back to the bag and it's empty. Who ate my chocolate? You did. Piece by piece by piece. Who started that gossip? You did. Are you willing to give up those things? Are you willing to give up an argumentative spirit? Ooh. How hard is it for people to get in an argument with you? Yeah, it's pretty easy with most of us. But are you willing to give it up? Because you got to get free of it in order to be free of Satan. And you have to be free of it in order to free others. Are you willing to do the things that need to be done? In spiritual warfare, there's two things. There's a decision to be free. Can I use you, Marisol? You just said you suffer from an argumentative spirit. So there has to be a decision. I am going to be free of that argumentative spirit. I don't want it anymore. Now, whoever you are, there's a decision to be free of it. And then there's the perseverance to fight for it day after 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 day to do whatever it takes, no matter how long it takes, until Satan no longer has that hold on you. Think about that. If you will persevere, if it takes weeks, if it takes months for you to get to the place where, you know, I don't know who I said this to. And I think it was yesterday. Oh, it was Sean at the Bible study last night. He asked, what are you looking forward to in heaven? I said, I'm looking forward to a place where there are no arguments. When you get to the place where you are so sick of hearing people argue that it even grates on you if you hear it on a TV show, then you're sick of it. Then you're free of it. Then you're not going to be a part of it. But we have to get to that place with whatever it is that Satan has bound us with. I'll put it that way. We're the light of the world, right? We can't bring light to others if we don't have it ourselves. You can't bring freedom to others if you aren't free yourself. It's impossible. Paul said in Galatians, don't ask me where. Galatians isn't that long a book. 4 or 5. He said, it is for freedom that Christ set us free. What did he mean by that? He was saying, is saying, and I am saying, Christ paid such a high price for your freedom. Be sure you stay free. It is for freedom. It is so that we can have freedom that Christ set us free. Why would you give it up? Why would you not fight for it? Why would you not do everything within your power and learn even more to do to keep your freedom? This is our foundational scripture for today. Ephesians 4. Oh, you thought I never was going to get to it, didn't you? Yeah. Okay. Ephesians 4, verse 1. Therefore, this is Paul talking. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. Lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. You've been called by God. Lead a life worthy of your calling. What is our calling? We're called to live free of Satan's devices. Jesus paid the highest possible price for it. We're called to live as his children. We're called to live righteous by the blood of Jesus. We don't have to sin. We're not sinners. Bishop tells us this over and over and over. Sin is a choice. You're called to live free from sin. We're called to mature into the likeness of Christ with his character. When you look around on a day-to-day basis, do you see immaturity around you in the body? Do you see immaturity in yourself? Of course you do. We're growing. We're growing into his character. We have to fight for it. Satan's not going to let you exhibit those things on the wall out there, the fruit of the Spirit, without fighting you for it. You have a problem with patience, that's just Satan fighting you. You have a problem loving someone, that's just Satan fighting you. You have a problem with joy, Satan's just fighting you. He's not going to give you anything, not anything, for free. You have to fight for it. You have to take it. And if today you're not fighting it for it, you'll probably be fighting for it on another day. We're called to co-labor with Christ, as Pastor Linda told us last Sunday. We're called to co-labor with him in building the kingdom. We have been charged. And are we fulfilling those charges? Satan fights every single aspect of a Christian's life. And we have to oppose his plans at every turn. This verse says, lead a life worthy of your calling. What is a life worthy of our calling? I'm going to tell you. Write it down. Write it down. Tattoo it on your arm. Tattoo it in your brain. Do not forget this. A life that is worthy of our calling is one that is lived in opposition to Satan. A life that is worthy of our calling is one that is lived in opposition to Satan. Now I'm going to say it again, and you fill in the blanks. A life that is worthy of our calling is a life that has lived in opposition to Satan, a life that is worthy. If you are living a life that is worthy of the name Christian, you are living opposed to Satan. You are living contrary to Satan. You are living in opposition to whatever Satan is trying to do in you, in your life, around you. A life that is worthy of your calling, a life that's worthy of my calling, is a life that's lived in opposition to Satan. So we cannot lie down and take it. We cannot sit by and watch Satan do it to our friends. You cannot sit by and watch Satan attack Rachel. You have to oppose what he's doing. You cannot sit by and watch Satan attack Connie, or Jeannie, or Kathy, or Danny. You can't do it if it's you're walking worthy of your calling. If you're walking worthy of your calling, you are opposing everything you see Satan doing in your life or somebody else's. And why do you think God lets you see it? Not so you can gossip about it. Not so you can think, oh gosh, I'm so much better than that. Not so you can, well, I would never do that. No, he lets you see it so you can fight for them. Go into spiritual warfare. Jesus lived his whole life on earth in opposition to Satan. He went head to head with Satan throughout his time on earth. In Matthew 4, verse 1, it says, and then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Who led Jesus into the wilderness? The Holy Spirit. Don't you think he's going to lead you? Don't you think Satan's able to, if he was able to tempt Jesus, to attack Jesus, to test you, don't you think he's doing the same thing to you? You're not better than Christ. He is going to attack you in the same way. Jesus had a test to pass. So do you. I have a test to pass. We all have a test to pass. Verse 10 is the statement of Jesus' success. Jesus said to Satan, get away from me, Satan. How many times have you said that to Satan recently? Get out of here. Get away from me. Leave my sister alone. Stop. Sorry, I am angry. Stop, stop. Get away from here. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. What did Jesus use? Not his own human wisdom. He used the word of God. Because it's the only thing that Satan respects. Then what happened? The devil left him. You want the devil to leave you? Do you want the devil to leave your friends, your neighbors, your family members, your brothers and sisters? Go into battle for them. Use the word of God against what you see. And then it says angels came and attended to him. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Jesus passed that test, and you can too if you do what Jesus did. Paul lived, I love when I saw this, Paul lived in opposition to Satan all his life. We know that. He opposed him at every turn. But let's look at a scripture that tells us that. Hidden in this scripture, you will find that Paul opposed Satan at every turn. Some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, people who cast out devils, also attempted to pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I command you by the Lord Jesus that Paul preaches. Hello. Right there they revealed that they didn't have any connection with Jesus. They have no basis for what they're doing. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest, were doing this. The evil spirit answered them, I know Jesus, and I recognize Paul, but who are you? They're saying, we know who Jesus is. We've done battle with him and lost. We know who Paul is. We've done battle with him and lost. We've been head to head with them, and we know we can't win, but who do you think you are? You're a pretender. Are you a pretender? Or are you living a life that's worthy of your calling? These people, these Jewish exorcists, had no connection with Jesus. It's as if I tried to take your debit card to the ATM and access your account, but I don't know your PIN number. You get it? They're trying to access the power of God, but they don't have a connection with him. Let's say they don't know his PIN number. They don't have his authority. They have no relationship with him. They're trying to do something that they don't have any authority for. They cannot access God's power, and neither can you if you don't have a connection with God. In Luke 10, Jesus sends out 70 disciples to do the work. Remember that? He sent out 70 ahead of him into the country where he was going to go. And when they came back astonished. It's not up there. They came back astonished. They came back rejoicing, saying, "Hey, Jesus, the devils even submit to us in your name." They were so excited. They were so astonished that when they, Jesus' disciples, people who knew him, commanded evil spirits, they submitted to him. But what did Jesus say? He didn't say, "Oh, yeah, yay, God, yay, God, yay, God." No, he didn't say that. He said, "Don't rejoice. I gave you power over Satan, but don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven." In other words, if your name isn't written there, if you don't know him, you can't do diddly squat. How's your relationship with him? How's your connection with him? How often are you seeking him, talking to him? How real is he in your life, day by day by day, hour by hour? Because that's how the attacks come, day by day, hour by hour. Are you talking to him? Do you have a connection with him? Do you know his PIN number? Will he let you use his ATM card? If Jesus doesn't know you, write this in stone. If Jesus doesn't know you, Satan is not afraid of you. He is not afraid of you if you cannot draw on your relationship with Jesus. If you cannot draw on his word, if you cannot speak his word, live his word, Satan is not afraid of you. And the devil should know you. He should have been tangling with you day by day by day, and therefore knowing that you walk in God's authority. I don't know whether he does or doesn't, but you do. And if you are not walking in God's authority, it's time to start, because God holds us responsible to fight. He holds us responsible to fight for others. I want you to see this in Numbers. There's a beautiful example in Numbers. The people of Reuben and Gad, these are the Old Testament Israelites. There were 12 tribes. This is two of the 12 tribes. The people of Reuben and Gad had large flocks and herds. They were shepherds. They were herdsmen. When they saw the lands of Jazer and Gilead were good for animals, and Jazer and Gilead were right before they would have crossed the Jordan into the Promised Land. It was good land just on the opposite side of the Jordan. So when they saw that, they came to Moses, Eleazar the priest, and the leaders of the people. They said, "We, your servants, have flocks and herds. The Lord has captured for Israel a land that's good for animals. The land around, let me gather these. Ataroth, Dibon, Jazer, Nimrah, Heshbon, Eleale, Sibeam, Nebo, and Beon. All that land is good for cattle, for livestock. If it pleases you, we would like this land to be given to us." In other words, we'll stay here. This land is good for us. "Don't make us cross the Jordan River." Moses told the people of Gad and Reuben, "Shall your brothers go to war while you stay behind? Don't make us cross the river. Don't make us go. Don't make us do that. We've found our honey hole. Let's stay here and get on with our lives." That's what they were asking. And we're like that. We find our sweet spot in Christ, and then we go on about our life with God with very little thought of fighting for our brothers and sisters. They weren't thinking about the people who were going to have to go on and fight without them. Our brothers and sisters are still struggling. People just coming to Christ are still struggling. Visitors in this church are just still struggling. People you invite here are still struggling. People who don't yet have that relationship with him are still struggling. Are you trying to live in your honey hole and not worry about them? Or are you willing to fight for them? We spend more time fighting against them than we spend fighting for them. And I said that. We spend more time fighting against our brothers and sisters than we do fighting for them. So this is what Moses told the people of Reuben and Gad. Shall your brothers go to war and you stay behind? You will discourage the Israelites from going over to the land the Lord has given them. When you do not fight for your brothers and sisters to possess their promised land, you are in fact discouraging them. You don't have to say a single word of discouragement, though you do. But if you won't fight for them, if you don't stand with them, support them, encourage them, strengthen them, pray for them, fight for them, you are discouraging them. So what we know from the Bible is that when it was time to cross the Jordan, these people did as they were told, as they were commanded, and they spent 7 years in the promised land fighting for their brothers and sisters to conquer their land. 7 years after they had been given their promised land, 7 years after they found their honey hole, they spent 7 years going before the other Israelites, and Joshua says, you will go before us because you've already got your land. They went ahead, armed, to fight the enemy so that their brothers and sisters could take their promised land. 7 years. How long do you fight for your brothers and sisters? 7 minutes? 7 hours? How much time have you spent fighting for Connie? 7 days? Don't answer. But how long do we fight for our brothers and sisters? The word number 7 is in biblical numerology or numbers. 7 stands for completeness, perfection. So we fight for them until the fight is complete, until they've reached their goal, until they've reached their promised land. They fought for 7 years. And you may not have to fight for 7 years, but you do need to fight until their victory is complete. That's the bottom line. So now let me ask a couple questions about this. Can you recognize the signs of attack when you're under attack or when your brothers and sisters are under attack? I'm going to name some for you. There's lots more. First one that comes to mind is that everything seems to be going wrong at once. Your car breaks down, not just once, not just twice, but several times. You know about that, right, Jeannie? The washer breaks down, your refrigerator dies, the dog gets sick, and you end up in the ER. You're under attack when everything seems to be going wrong at once. But what about this? You can't get your mind off of something negative that has happened to you. These thoughts are going through your mind. I'm tired of folks always talking about me. I get blamed for everything. People are getting on my nerves. Why do people treat me like that? I've had it. Well, realize that they're not under attack. Satan's already using them as pawns. You're the one that's under attack. He's trying to devour you now. Have you ever been seriously tempted to quit what God has assigned you to do? I have. That's spiritual attack. That's warfare. God has assigned you to something, your job, your marriage, your place of serving, any one of those things that God has assigned you to. If you are seriously tempted to quit, I don't mean God is moving you, he's told you you need to do something, but if you're deciding to quit, this is more than I can take, I'm tired, I don't want to do this anymore, I can't take this anymore. Whatever the thing is that's going through your brain, that's a spiritual attack. And Satan loves to use them. There's another one. You lose your passion and your energy for the things of God. Are you as passionate today as you were when you first met Jesus? Because if you're not, you're losing your passion and your energy. You don't feel like going to church. You don't feel like sitting in the front row anymore. You don't feel like praying. You don't feel like singing. You don't feel like reading the Bible. You don't feel like keeping your commitments. You don't feel like resisting those sins that Satan trips you over. Any one of those things. You're losing your passion. You're losing your energy. You're under attack. Fear is the biggest one of all. Satan needs fear to operate in your life. He cannot operate in your life without fear. Fear is an open door to Satan. As Bishop tells us many times, it's poison to your faith. But here's the good news. Well, I'll say it. Let me say it this way. Every fear you have is in opposition to some promise of God. So the good news is, for every fear you have, there is a promise in the Bible to repel that fear. Every single one of them. God has not given us a spirit of fear. If God didn't give it to you, where did it come from? Don't like to say it, do we? But God didn't give us fear, not a single fear. And so if you have fear over anything in your life, it came from Satan. You need to go get a promise out of the Word and repel that attack. Stress is a big one. Satan is constantly looking for ways to stress you out. Always. So stay out of other people's business. That's a big stress. Stay out of the drama. Get off the Facebook merry-go-round. Turn off the news. Don't worry about what they're saying about you or what they think about you, because it ain't any of your business anyway. Cut the stress off of your life. And there are other signs, confusion, self-pity, and all of its cousins. Familiar with them, are you? Depression, loneliness, inferiority, hopelessness, despair. When you're in any of those conditions, you are under attack. We know that the battlefield is in our mind. It's our thoughts Satan uses against us. So, we're going to try something. I need everyone to do this, without exception. No matter how young or how old you are, you can count. So I want you to start counting in your head silently. Now, count. Now say your name out loud. What happened to your counting? Yeah, it stopped. Why did it stop? It stopped because you cannot hold thoughts in your brain and speak at the same time. So why don't you cut off the thoughts in your brain that Satan is torturing you with by speaking the word? Open your mouth and speak. Open your mouth and speak. You can't think about those things at the same time that you are speaking. And make sure you're speaking God's word. Speak words of life. We've just proved to ourselves that we can't do them both at the same time. So cut off the negative one by speaking God's word. Okay, let's see. I'm going to skip a couple things here. I want to talk about this, praying strategically. In Ephesians 6:18, let's go to that one. It says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests." Pray in the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? That means go to the Holy Spirit and let Him give you words. Holy Spirit, here's the problem. Tell me what to pray. How do I pray for Marisol, God? Tell me the words to pray. Pray what He gives you. Let the Holy Spirit give you words. Pray on all occasions. I love what Connie does. I marvel. Because we were walking out, and I've heard her do it so many times. We were walking out of church Wednesday night, and I don't know if it was a fire truck or an ambulance. Something with sirens went by, and she immediately started praying for whoever was the victim of whatever was going on. All occasions, with all kinds of prayer. What does that mean? You can pray in tongues, you can pray in English, you can pray in Spanish, pray in your native language, pray with tears, pray with sighs and groaning, whatever the Holy Spirit gives you to pray with. Use worship songs. Use scripture prayers. Read the Psalms until you find yourself in them. I'm going to give you an example of that. I love that one. When I am troubled, I go to the Psalms and find one that speaks to me. You know what I mean by that? I mean, your heart goes, ah, yeah, that's me. Okay, Friday night, Something happened, and it just, I was completely overtaken by a spirit of confusion. I'm not a confused person, okay? But I was like, oh my God, confusion. And I was actually studying is what I was doing, and I left the room where I was studying, and I went out into the living room thinking maybe a change of scenery would clear my brain. No, it just got worse. So I went back into the office, and I sat down, and I Googled Bible verses for confusion. Yeah, I do that a lot. Bible verses for depression, Bible verses for sickness, Bible verse, whatever you're being attacked with, go to Google. He knows everything. No, he doesn't. But if you ask him for verses for this thing, he'll bring up a bunch of them. I found Psalm 145. I found myself there. I found myself in Psalm 31. I found myself in Psalm 89. I found myself in Psalm 18. I found myself in 91. I found myself in each one of them, and I used the words that spoke to me in the psalm to speak to my situation. I actually spent an hour and a half reading Psalms and talking them, praying them back to God over the confusion that was in my... In an hour and a half, I wasn't even thinking about confusion anymore. I was gone. I mean, that was gone. Long gone. Pray the scriptures. Now, I want to show you Colossians. I want Colossians 1:9. I want to show you how to pray for others. There are a number of places in the Bible where Paul prays for the people. And you can Google that, prayers that Paul prayed for us. And it'll bring you up three or four, some in Ephesians, some in Philippians, some in Galatians, this one in Colossians. I'm not sure, Galatians, I meant Colossians. But you see this, and I'm going to, let's go through it quickly. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. That should be our confession. I have not stopped praying about Harry since I first heard about him. Pray for people. And here's how he prayed. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of us. Well, actually, I'm going to change this. I'm going to pray for Connie out of this. And you can do this. I want you to learn how to do this when you read these prayers in the Bible. This one, I'm praying for Connie. I ask God to give Connie complete knowledge of his will and to give her spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way she lives will always honor and please the Lord, and her life will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, she will grow as she learns to know God better and better. I also pray, God, that you will strengthen Connie with your glorious power so that she will have all the endurance and patience she needs and that she may be filled with joy. You get it? Take the prayers and put someone's name in them. Pray them over yourself. I pray this over many of you. I have two prayer lists on my phone that I pray every day for people in the body. And then I have one where we have special requests, prayer requests that have gone out and whatever. And I pray this prayer over many of you every day. And you can do that. That's spiritual warfare. Go find some of the other ones and put people's names in them that you're praying for. Pray for your children with these scripture prayers. Always remember who you are. John, 1 John 4:4. You, dear children, are from God. I need 1 John 4:4. You, yeah, well, that might not be. I'm going to read it this way. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. Do you think about the fact that because you are born of God, you overcome the world? The next verse, 1 John 5:4. For every child of God defeats this evil world. If you're a child of God, the evil world has no power over you. You are victorious. We achieve this victory through our faith. And Romans 8:37 says, in these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. To grow as a church in numbers and in maturity, we have to recognize spiritual warfare. I have to be able to recognize when Rob is under attack and pray for him instead of talking about him. I have to be able to recognize when any one of my brothers and sisters are under attack and pray for them instead of coming against them. I have to know when I'm under spiritual attack and pray and get that off of me. Because I can't help you until I've helped myself or till God has helped me. We need to recognize the things that we see as spiritual attacks and not as people's deficiencies or people's hang-ups or, you know, we look at people and we are critical and judgmental. Instead of seeing that, see, oh, my brother is under attack. My sister is under attack. Holy Spirit, tell me how to pray for them. In all occasions, at all times, recognize when what you're really seeing is someone who's under attack and learn to pray for them. We talk about knee mail. You can get on your knees and pray for them. You can go to the scriptures and read and declare scriptures over them. There are so many ways that you can go into battle for your brothers and sisters. But you dare not just stand by and let it happen. Because if you do, then their blood is on your hands. We are commanded by God to go into battle for our brothers and sisters. No, you can't stay here on this side of the Jordan just because you found your honey hole. No, you got to go ahead of them. You've won your victory. You've found your place with God. Now go ahead of your brothers and sisters and fight for them until they get their victory. That's what we are commanded to do. I am tired of seeing people laying down, letting the devil walk all over their brothers and sisters' backs, all over their backs. Please, get up and fight. Fight for yourself. Fight for your brothers and sisters. Fight for this church. It's not enough to be wishing and hoping. Oh, God, I hope you fill the church. Oh, God, I hope that Danny gets well. Oh, God, I hope this. I wish this. I wish that. No, that's not going to get it. Go make an appeal to heaven. Go to God in spiritual warfare. Call on his power. Use his words, his strength, because it is truly the only thing that Satan respects. He does not respect your words. He does not. That's why those Jewish exorcists didn't do any good. He had no respect for their words because they didn't have the password. They didn't have the PIN number. They were not using God's ATM card. You can. You got a Bible full of his PIN numbers. Go to God. Get into spiritual warfare. Let him tell you what to pray and how to pray. And be serious about it. If it takes 7 years, God, we thank you that you have equipped us. You have given us everything that we will ever need to win every victory we will ever need to win for ourselves, for our brothers and sisters, for other people that you bring to our attention. God, make us true spiritual warriors. God, help us. We desire to live worthy of our calling. Help us. In order to live worthy of our calling, we must oppose Satan at every turn. And we ask for your help in that. In Jesus' name, amen.